the din of kavana and tefila as an ikuv should tzarich lechavim b'chol abrachos v'shiyachol espal b'chol lashon simin kuf aleph here in the Shulchan Aruch. Much of this is predicated on the discussions in simin tzariches, which we had b'arichos. So let's just cut to the chase in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch rules some espal tzarich shiyachavim b'chol abrachos. Ideally, a person should have kavana for all the brachos. And we pointed out last time there are two definitions or two aspects of kavana. There is the omid lefnei hamelech aspect. There is the pirush hamilos aspect. V'im eini yachol lechavim b'chulam lefachos yechavein ba'avos. So we saw this was the resolution between the Gemara and Daf Lamed, the Gemara and Daf Lamed Dalet. V'im lo kivein ba'avos. What if the person did not have kavana in avos? Aval pi shekivein b'chol shar, even though he had kavanah with all chol shar, all the other brachos, yachzor v'yispalo, you should be chozer umespalo. Ramah says vo'edna ein chozer b'shvil chesun kavanah sha'af b'chazara karov v'shalo yichavein imkein lama yachzor. So this Shulchan Aruch is following the majority opinion, which we saw that only avos is ma'akev. We did mention, remember there was that one Yesh Misha Omer in the Me'iri who thought that kavana in all the brachos was ma'akev, but that is rejected halacha l'maisa. And it's, you know, maybe that Gemara is, that Me'iri is consistent with the Gemara in Erevin, but the Rova post can follow this idea that the Ikar kavana, the kavana that's ma'akev, is in avos. So why is avos the most significant brachos? The Shibbol HaLeket says because it's the first. The Aruch HaShulchan here quotes a couple of other suggestions. Number one, it because it has the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It begins with Baruch and it concludes with Baruch. It has Geula. It's Samach it's the Geula Samach Letfila. It has the Zchus Avos. Perhaps, and I don't know if this is the context in which he said it, but I remember years ago hearing from Shechter Shalita that Rav Soloveitchik explained that Birchas Avos was a matir. You heard this idea? That if a person didn't have, apparently the Rav said, that if you didn't have the avos who opened their mouths before Misha Amar V'Hoya Olam, you would have no right to stand before the Ribono Shel Olam. So he was magdir birchas avos as a matir. I don't know if in that context he explained this idea, but it also makes perfect sense that im lo kivein ba'avos, if you don't have the matir, so then you can't daven. You have to have Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. You have to have that model that you're tapping into. Otherwise, you know, mi amal gvuraso yash, mi, what was the lashon? The Gemara Megillah? Mi amal gvuraso Hashem yashmiya kol tehillaso, right? Like, unless Moshe Rabbeinu had said it, unless the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah had fixed it, you would never have the audacity to say anything before the Ribono Shel Olam, to be ke'ilu omed lefnei Hashem. So Rav Soloveitchik had this idea. I'm sure it's printed in different places, but Rav Shechter said it over, I've heard it for sure, that the tefillah, the element of tefillos keneged avos tiknum is a matir, so it makes sense that berachos avos is ma'akiv, because without that you don't have a matir to be mispalo. The Beis Yosef also quoted, we saw from the Smak, that modim is also important, and that's what we saw many achronim quote here, that you also have to have kavana for modim. Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Also have to have kavana for modim, right? In the Mishnah Berurah in Gimel, yesh posim mitgamim modim chashiv ka'avos lechatchila. So why should that be? So some achronim say it's because modim also has a kriya, but l'chor that's just an indicator. That's not necessarily, you know, maybe it's because it's a tefillah kolelas. We talked about this earlier, but the Aruch HaShulchan has a ha'ara here where he points out that modim has hodah, it has gratitude, and gratitude has a unique status. For haraya, there's such a thing as modim drabanan. I still remember the last time that Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichron Levracha, Nechama's Saba, her grandmother's second husband, the last time he and Bobby Shirley, Shetichia, they came to Chicago, it was amazing. We did a kollel program. We brought Dr. Pelkovitz and Rabbi Pelkovitz, and they did a, like, together duo shir, Torah and psychology. It was awesome. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the Sunday morning of Hurricane Sandy. And they said they had to get back to New York. And we were like, are you sure you want to do that? Because it doesn't sound very good over there. So they ended up going to Queens. It was a whole maisa. They left Chicago. They ended up in New York during the superstorm. It was a big ASIC. I remember that. So it was that Sunday morning, I think, that we had Rabbi Polkovitz and Dr. Polkovitz. So Dr. Polkovitz, in his book with Rabbi Polkovitz, L'Havdil Min Chaim L'Chaim, they have a chapter on gratitude. So he quoted this from the, I don't remember if he quoted it from the Sfar Makadoshim or from the Bali Musar, which group of books that follows from the, you know, the old Darshanim. He said that the reason why you have Modim Drabanan is because when it comes to expressing gratitude, you cannot deputize someone else. It's back from the Avudram. Ah, great. So that's the idea. So there's the element of hachna that a person, bakashas, maybe you can ask on behalf of somebody else. You can deputize, you can make somebody an agent for your bakasha. But hodah, to say thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that is something that you need to do yourself. And maybe that's an essential part of davening. So at least to explain that, Beis Yosef, in the name of the smak. But the question is, what do we say about the person who didn't have kavanah? So it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch earlier talked about the fact that today we don't have so much kavanah, but the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention it here. The Ramah is the one who mentioned the fact that, yeah, today we don't have so much kavanah, and so even if you tell him to be chozer, he's not going to have kavanah. Well, what exactly does that mean? Let's say the person, theoretically, they're ready, they're all, you know, juiced up, and they're going to have kavanah the second time around. I'm telling you, I'm going to have kavanah. You know, do you say that they should go back? So the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bi'alach and Dira Maschel Ve'Idna has this very peculiar idea. It's disrespectful. He has an interesting idea that you should stand there quietly after you finish Berachos Avos, and then you're going to have Shomea Ka'one when the Chazan repeats the first bracha of the Chazaras Hashatz. So you're going to be Yotzi with him, even though you're a Baki, but since you can't say the brachos again, so you'll be Yotzi with him. The idea, the vibe that you're getting from this Mishnah Berurah is that the Mishnah Berurah really thinks, he's noted in the direction, that you weren't really Yotze. You really are not Yotze. And that if you could somehow have a Nevuah that you're going to have Kavanah the second time, we would probably tell you to do it again. And you have this patent, you're going to stand on your head to wait for the Chazan. But if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan is not Mashma like that. It's not Mashma like that. If the person didn't have kavana for avos, the Aruch HaShulchan sounds like you go weiter. And this is what Rav Ovadia in the Abiya Omer and Chelek Yimel and Chelek Aruch Chaim Simen Yud, he says that you continue. You finished avos, you didn't have kavana, you don't go back. Now, what if in the middle of avos you remember that you didn't have kavana? So he says you should go back to Elokei Avosenu and then continue, stay avos again. So you're in the middle of... It was? I don't remember. He quotes from the Chayadim? Yeah. Yes. So exactly. And he quotes from the Kozhik Glover. I think you mentioned this Kozhik Glover in the Chabur Batfila B'Tzibur in the Simen Chav Beis, where the Kozhik Glover also says, Kozhik Glover has a long tshuva in the Eretz Tzvi, where he says, you're Yotzi B'Dieved. You should keep going. You're not Chozer. And he adds a little interesting knej. He says, look, when the Chazan gets up to daven Chazor Sashatz, you should have Kavona, and his Lashon is Yisakin Ma'idev Shal Yisakin. Okay, you were Yotzi, you're not going to go back, but it's L'Rav Chedemilsa, it's good to listen to the Chazan. I think this was the point that you were bringing out for the purpose of Chazor Sashatz. That's why he's bringing it up in that context. The context of the tshuva, the original shiloh of that tshuva was a guy who didn't have Kavona in the first part of Avos, but had Kavana for the last part of Avos. So the Chiddush at the beginning of the Tshuva is that the Chasimas HaBracha counts to clock it in that you were Yotze for the whole Bracha. Because the Chasimas Me'ina Psicha, and therefore it's a Chazar, it's as if you were Mekayim the whole Bracha. But B'dieved, he points out that let's say the guy didn't have Kavana for the Bracha at all. B'dieved is Yotze. But that's where he throws in the Tefillah B'tzibur angle that you mentioned a few weeks ago. So the question is, on what basis are we allowing this person to continue to daven? Why are the rest of the brachos not a chashash brachal of atala? So Rav Ovadia, in the previous tshuva there, in Chelek Gimel Or Chaim Simen Tes, he points out that Shibole Haleket, who compares, which is granted, he points out this is a very problematic comparison, but the Shibole Haleket is on the books comparing a Stam Lishma in Kachim to Kavana in your tefillah, and therefore, B'dievet, even though you didn't have any Kavana, we say Stam Lishma. And he quotes a bunch of other achronim who agree that b'di'eved, the tefillah without kavana, is still good. Yeah, he says it's a bad comparison. He thinks it's against the Rashba. He doesn't get into the whole reason why. He doesn't get into the lumdus. But, you know, you would say it's a bad comparison. For, I think he does mention, I don't remember if he mentions this or someone else mentions this. A, the comparison, b'chalal, we know, between Shar Mitzvos and Kachim. But B, the whole assumption that in Kachim it has to do with, you know, some kind of circumstantial assumptions of the working circumstance and not based on. So he mentions this idea that in Kachim it's different, but I don't know if he goes into all the mechanics with the Karen Ora. I don't remember. I have to go back to look at exactly. But
did you remember?
Yeah. So he says, Lamaisa, that you could be Mekel. What about the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't sound like this? The Shulchan Aruch sounds like you should go back. You should stop and go back. So he quotes in Simon Tess, he quotes in the Berki Yosef in Ozbeis, and the Berki Yosef has a line where he says, even though from the Shulchan Aruch doesn't invoke this heter of the Ramah, which he knew about, and he said it earlier, he says, Lamaisa, quote, lo noagu kidvarav. And therefore, Rav Ovadia's psak is that if a person who generally has kavana for avos, and they're very good about having kavana for avos, and this time they didn't have kavana for avos, you can, if you want, you can say tefillas nedava, but you're not mechuyev to go back. Because he says from the Birkei Yosef, lo nagu kedvarav. Now this question of if the person was lo kivein ba'avos at all, b'dieved, should he continue? Like what does he do? L'maisa b'dieved is a yotze, reflects the same attitude in the reverse question, right? Until now, we pointed out that the kivun of the Mishnah Brura is you really are not yotze, and you should do whatever you can to try to fix that with this, you know, weight. But the kivun of the Aruch HaShulchan and Lamaisa, the minhag of Rav Ovadia, as Rav Ovadia Paskins, is you were yotze b'dieved, you should continue to daven. These two kivunim are also the same kivunim that come up in the reverse question of, a priori, you know you're not going to have any kavana right now. Let's say you're in a situation where you're not going to have kavana at all. You know you're not going to have kavana at all. And you're not even going to have kavana for avos. Right? The long part of Rav Ovadia was about, you know, a priori, do you need to plan to have kavana for the whole thing or just avos? But let's say, b'shas atchak, you know you're sitting, the case that he's talking about is the guy sitting on the bus. He's sitting on the bus and he's not going to be able to have kavana. He's not even going to have kavana for avos. And by the time he gets to his destination, it's going to be ois zman tefila. So the truth is, I'm so glad that we're learning this year and this man, because this kind of shaila and a lot of things we were discussing came up for me yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, because I left the house at 4:00 in the morning, so it was well before alos. But by the time I parked and got to the gate, there was no way I was going to have time to even do like a quick, any, you know, Birchas Kriyas Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. But then I got on the plane and I was flying a very Ruchniistic airline. So this airline that's very focused on Ruchniist, there's not a lot of like standing situation, especially because I was in row 32, seat F.
What do you mean Ruchniist
airline? Slot Spirit.
Oh.
So I was trying to cheshbon what's the best thing. And then I was like, what time is it going to be Nate's? And I fell asleep for a half hour. And then by the time I was like ready to start davening, I realized they're going to put on the fasten seatbelt sign. So then I'm going to be stuck. So we discussed exactly this. We discussed a few weeks ago. The Shulchan Aruch is very not into the idea of davening sitting down. But yeah, you can daven sitting down. But I made a chav the following cheshbon. My kids were not there. and Nechama was not there, so no one was going to tell me what to do. I could do whatever I want. So I made a cheshbon that I had, let's say, 40 minutes left in the flight, or almost whatever that was. So I started the brachos and brachos hashachar, and I could say all the karbonos with all the everything because I was not going anywhere. And then I did psukei zimra. And then at my seat, about 10 minutes before landing, I put on my tefillin and my talis, which echshu, you can do that without elbowing the next person in the nose. And I said all of Birchas Kriya Shema, and then Shema during deplaning. Wow. 32F. No one's bothering me. So then I just started, when they were about to finish deplaning, I started Emes V'Yatziv, and I got to Tehillos L'Kel Elyon. I got up, got off the plane, went into the terminal, and I said, Shimon Esrei.
You got off the plane with 1,000 kilometers?
Yes, because Nechama wasn't there. She wasn't going to tell me what to do. And do you think, by the way, I was any more weird than half of the other people who are traveling these days? Worked out perfectly. It was perfect. Because I was afraid that if I was going to wait to daven until we land, I was going to miss Zman Kriya Shema. And then I wouldn't get Tzmichas Gula L'Tfila if I was going to say it earlier.
Oh, Zman Kriya Shema with brachas.
Yeah. So otherwise you would have to say Shema separately.
Yeah.
But that's not L'Chatchila. Best move. No? And then I had to really get going. So during Tachanun, I took off my tefillin, finished up davening, and I was out of there.
Well, why does it say it didn't give you a spirit of flight pin?
No, exactly. So it worked out great. It worked out great. Checked all the boxes. Right? But I felt like, at least for Avos, I can have Kavana in the standing on the side next to the wall in the terminal. It's not impossible. I mean, it's not great kavana. I don't know if it's, you know, how much kavana do I have on a regular day? Yeah. You know, you try the best you can. So that was yesterday. But it was all trying to cheshbon out all the things that we've learned over the course of the Zman, with the Kriya Shema, with the sitting, with the tefillin, with the hefsek, the whole thing. So that was yesterday. You know, maybe only thing you can dingzach is maybe I should have put on the tefillin before I started the Birchas HaShachar, but I was afraid to have the tefillin on for too long on the plane. You never know. So, and you could daven all the davening, including actually saying all of Pesukei Dezimra, including like you did Nefesh beforehand, like the whole daven was amazing. It was great. It was a great davening. Okay, getting back again. What happens if the person knows they're not going to have kavanah for avos? They're sitting on that plane, they're on the bus, they're on the train, there's no way they're going to have any kavanah. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Gimel, don't daven. Do not daven. And it's consistent with the Mishnah Berurah's approach that without kavanah for avos, it's ma'akev v'di'evet, so you shouldn't daven. But the Aruch HaShulchan points out that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. And the Piskei Tshuvos here quotes a bunch of poskim who say, l'maisa b'zman hazeh, especially for Ashkenazim, you would say, l'maisa, we don't have so much kavana, so even though you know in advance that you're not going to have kavana, you should daven anyway. And this is what Rav Avadya paskins in the Tshuva, that l'maisa, the guy can still daven, on the train or on the plane, even if he's not going to have kavana. Now, if he wants to not daven, Rav Avadya says he can. That's the psak of Rav Avadya. Meaning, let's say the guy says, I'm not going to have a kavana on the bus, but I usually have kavana, so I'd rather wait till after the zman and then say tefillas tashlumin. Rav Avadya says, kedayu the shulchan aruch lismoch alav, that you weren't Yotze, you got Tfilas Tashlum, and you were Tarud, Gizun Dehait. Rav Avadya does point out, though, that, and I'm assuming if the guy is such a tzaddik, that he has a preference to daven Tfilas Tashlum because he wants to have the Kavana and not be, you know, davened up by being Yotze on the bus, Rav Avadya points out, and this goes back to something Moshe pointed out about Mezid, Rav Avadya points out, this is assuming that the guy got onto the bus with a reasonable anticipation that he should be able to execute davening in some way. Either he thought he could daven on the bus with a little bit of kavana, shtikl kavana, or he was going to get his location in advance. But if a guy gets on the bus after the zman tefillah, knowing he's not going to be able to daven, so then he doesn't have tashlumin, that's amazing. But assuming that the guy, he thought he would have kavana, or he thought he would get to his destination, whatever it was his cheshbon, so that's not called a maze, it is called a shogig. So Rav Avadya says, if he wants to, he can skip davening and daven it twice later. Which is, that's kind of like the Shulchan Aruch backstop. But it's going similar to this approach of the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Piskei Tshuvas, that Bizman HaZeh, you don't have that much kavana anyway. So even if you're not going to have kavana, even if you're not going to have kavana for avos, you should daven, rather than saying, oh, because I don't have kavana, I'm not going to daven at all. That's not, we're going to use that more as a chumrah and not as a kula. We're going to use it as a chumrah, but not so much as a kula. I mean, it's a shtickel kula that you don't have to daven again, but we're not going to say, oh, don't daven instead. That's what the Piskei Tshuvas points out. So Ad Kan for Sif Aleph. Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yispalo v'libo levad, ela mechatech advarim b'svasav, umashmi ali ozno b'lachash, lo yashmi akolo, v'im eini yocho lachavim b'lachash, then you could be magbi akolo as long as you're just by yourself in your house, but b'tzibur, you're going to make everybody else sedreit. And then the Ramah adds that there is this added element, if you're davening at home for whatever reason that is, you're not meant to be in shul, then you also have the potential for chinuch for the B'nai Beis. So, like the benching out loud is great chinuch, so potentially davening out loud is also good chinuch.
But all parts of davening have to make your voice so loud?
What's that?
For all parts of davening?
Oh, so this is a good question. Which parts of davening should you not make your voice so loud? So the pashtus is, the source of this, we learned this from Tefilas Chana, that Chana is medaberas aliva, v'kola lo yishama. We didn't hear her voice. So you would think that that only applies to Shimon Esrei. I was a little surprised, but the interesting thing is the Mishnah Berurah points out in Siv Zion that also for Pesukei Dezimra this is true. And l'chora that means for everything. So why should this be? What are the reasons why somebody should not be magbia kolo b'tfila? So number one, the implication of having to raise your voice is that the Ribbono Shel Olam only hears you if you're yelling. If you imagine that God is an old man with a white beard and hearing aids, and he's all the way on the other side, so then he's not going to hear you.
Which is the Oisek B'tshuva leads Oak.
Right.
That's the Rambam,
Right.
It's not like they're not going to hear us. It's the way of someone doing tshuva to scream out.
Right. So
to raise the voice.
Right. So that lechora, that person is two things. That person is not in the context of tefillah, but not omid lefnei Hashem. And number two, that's probably mitzad the gavra that the person needs to express the level of intense remorse and commitment, so it's expressed in that way. But davening is meant to be a conversation. So the first concern is that, when Eliyahu mocked the Nevi Habal, he said to them, maybe Ula Yashin, who maybe is Farshlufin over there, he can't hear you so well. It's like sometimes you talk to the person sitting in the back of the shul in the advanced age, and they say, I couldn't hear the rabbi even with my hearing aids in. So the first concern is that it appears like you think that the Ribbono Shel Olam only hears you if you're talking loud. But that's obviously preposterous. Number two, the second concern is that you might disturb other people, which is what the Shulchan Aruch also was alluded to. And there's a third concern, which is quoted by some of the Achronim, which comes up in a Yuma context. So I couldn't miss the opportunity to bring up this Yom Kippurim Din. There's a famous nace that took place in the Beis HaMikdash of Om Din Tzfufim Mishtachvim Revachim. So what was the purpose of that nace of Om Din Tzfufim Mishtachvim Revachim? So some of Farshim say the reason why they were necessary spaces between the people is because when they would hear the Shem HaGadol VaNichbad, people would be misfadim. And they would be mefaret chataehem. And kedei shelo levayish, nobody should hear what somebody else is saying. So it was mishtachavim revachim, there was space that nobody overheard anybody else's personal vidui, the things they were saying on the Yom HaKadosh, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, mamish b'shas hashmas Hashem. So this is a third concern that some of the Achronim raise, that if I'm davening and I'm speaking loudly, so then there's an element of a lack of tznius, there's a lack of privacy that people are going to hear what I'm saying, so you shouldn't be mashmir b'kol. So these are three different reasons. That's true.
For public
recognition. That's correct.
That's so, like, true. If it's binam l'chaveru, you're supposed to do vidui so other people do hear you.
So this, first of all, it's a question whether we pass like this, Rambam.
Oh, okay.
That's a question. It's generally not accepted to do that. Halacha l'maisa, I don't think people do that generally. And even so, again, you wonder whether or not that's exactly the same model as here.
Okay. And also, we're melding like mitzvah of tefillah and vidui. It's hard to, like,
Right, meaning that this is a personal conversation and nobody else should be hearing what you're saying. It's not just for the vidui per se. I'm using that as the lashon mushal, A, and B, I'm using it because it's an opportunity to talk about Yuma in the afternoon. So whenever you have a chance to do that, we should. Yes?
This is something that was bothering me during Seder, I think Moshe also. Isn't there specific Gemara in Soja? Like, why are people not quoting it in this context? Go on, so just listen to this. Tefillah b'lach, shnei shorim b'vayishim of Rei Vera.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Why do I only see a quote in some of the Achronim? Yeah. I don't know. It's exactly this point, but it's a Gemara in Sota. I don't know. Okay, so what do we have now? So from these three reasons, a person should be mechatech b'sfasav. If you don't say it, you get into the problem of here a kedibur dummy or not, and whether or not that even counts. B'dievet, we had a long discussion about this earlier in the year. So you're going to say the words. If you say it super loud, obviously you're going to disturb other people. But should you say it loudly enough that you can hear it? Shulchan Aruch sounds like Mashmi Eliyaznov Balachash. Should say it loud enough that you can hear it. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes here two opinions in Sifkat and Hay, whether or not this is a good idea based on the Zohar HaKadosh. Lamaisa, Nara Naru Pashte, Lechora, this goes back to the question about Kavana, which is that, okay, if you're a Baal Sod, if you're a tremendous Makubal, and you know that this, even though the Magen Avraham disputes this, if you know that this is the view of the Zohar, and that's something you always do, so follow the Zohar. But if not, if you don't have a personal preference, you should figure out what's best for your Kavana. If your Kavana is best, Lashmi Eloznov, you should do that. If it's not, it's not. It goes back to that old bore from Reb Chaim about whether it's better to look in the Siddur or say it Baal Peh. Reb Chaim said it was better for him to say it Baal Peh. Same thing with downing fast or slow. So the same thing here, L'chora, Naro Naro Pashte. If your Kavana is going to be better, if it's Lashmi Eloznov a little bit, then you should hear it, which, by the way, I suspect it probably is. So then that's recommended and good. And don't worry about that the Zohar unless that's something that you follow up with. Now, what about, like the Shulchan Aruch already alluded to, that there's a difference between being able to say it out loud because it helps your kavana and having to not say it too loud because it's going to bother the people next to you. So if you have a choice between tefila b'tzibur b'lachash and you're not going to have such good kavana versus davening at home really loud, what should you do? So Bir Halacha says, meichel on the kavod of your kavana. Daven b'tzibur. Don't use this as an excuse to stay home. Rabbi, I couldn't come to shul. I had to have kavana, so I had to daven out loud. Guess what? Get a sitter, put your finger on the place, say it loud enough for you to hear yourself, and the Rebbe Shalom will be very happy with your tefillah. Halavai, it'll be awesome. Gevaldik. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So we have Yeshomrim here that says that you're allowed to say it a little bit louder, but the Piskei Tshuva says it's not a good etza. We shouldn't really do that. Lechatchila should not be too loud, because you don't want to disturb people on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur either. So even though people are more attuned to it and they have machzorim, but lechatchila you shouldn't daven too loud on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur either. So that Yeshomer in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel, not such a great answer. Finally, in Sif Dalid, Yochal is follow b'chaloshon, right? Like the Mishnah says in the beginning of Elu Ne'amar and Sota Daf Lamed Beis, a person can daven b'chol loshon. So that's really true. It's kind of true. Technically, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yochol is follow b'chol lashon sheyirtzeh, but there are a lot of mitigating factors. We should actually avoid this. We should not encourage people to daven b'chol lashon. Four potential reasons why. Number one, Mishnah Berurah here in Yud Gimel quotes from the Chasam Sofer that if you introduce davening in a foreign language, that's part of a reform agenda. So now you can dingzach on this answer and say, oh, I'm only doing it to bring people closer to Yiddishkeit. Okay, but if you're institutionalizing, replacing the Lashon HaKodesh with Shaar Lashonos, you have to worry, number one, are you just walking the ways of reformers? Number two, the Achrona point out, there are tremendous sodos in Lashon HaKodesh. The Anshei Knesset HaGedola and the Tanaim and the Gaonim who established these tefilos, they had deep, unbelievably Yesodos Vahari Kodesh, unbelievably fundamental spiritual tsinoros of Kavanos that you tap into when you just enunciate those words. When you put these letters together in this arrangement, there are deep Kavanos, and you lose that when you daven in a foreign language. Lahavdil, if you want to explain this to somebody, it's like taking a magnificent Yiddish poem and translating it into English. It just doesn't work. Doesn't have the same feel. You ask the people who speak Yiddish, they'll tell you that the English translation, it loses all the time. So Lahavdil, on a spiritual level, translating, it's not the same at all. You've sucked out all of the deeper layers. It's like when the Greeks translated the Torah. So, you know, they took away all the deeper sodas, all the deeper meaning. It was a tragedy. So that's the second thing you sacrifice, why we should hesitate to translate everything into English. The third thing, the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Samach Beis and Sifkat and Gimel points out, and we saw this, that there are certain words, in that context it was in Kriyat Shema, but it's certainly true in Tefillah, there are certain words that we don't know the translation of. Ha-chashtaronim b'nei ramachim. Go tell me what the translation of that is. We don't know. So the Mishnah Berurah says, v'shinantem levonecha. What's the precise translation of the word shinantem? I don't know, what is it?
I don't know, but I'm not sure I buy the premise, meaning the premise of Tefillah B'chol Lashon, I think, is that we're not actually so much better on the Shabbat
or
the Torah.
Yeah, so I think, and so Rav Avadia has a long shuv about this, and he points out that the Gemara already says, Koren l'loazis balaz. The assumption is, the Gemara already is sensitive to this, the person who is reading the text needs to know the precise translation. They need to know the translation. If they don't know that language, then they can't use it. Koran the laws is a Mishnah in Megillah.
About reading the Megillah.
Right.
Fine, so when you're talking about Tanakh, it's a fixed text, it's clear. But if I instituted Tila and I gave you a carve out called Yudavim B'chol Hashem.
Yeah, but the Mishnah in Sota doesn't distinguish between those. The Elu Ne'amarim, those are biblical texts and rabbinic texts. It's all one list. So the Tshuva Rav Avadia, what's the core point of this is that a person, and there was some debate about this. You remember we dealt with this in the Chiddush of the Shomea Ka'ona in Hebrew, in the Lashon HaKodesh, that some Rishonim even thought that you need to be maven from that Lashon. But the bottom line, Rav Avadia points out, is that the majority of Poskim assume that if it's B'chol Lashon, you got to understand that Lashon. But if it's the Lashon HaKodesh, even if you don't understand. Like in the Megillah, you can read the Megillah to somebody in Lashon HaKodesh, even if they don't understand what you're saying, and they're still Yotze. But that's where there was some quibbling in some of the Achronim. But the consensus is that you are Yotze. Remember, we discussed this in the context of benching. So, except for Pasuk Rishon of Kriyat Shema, anything else you say in Lashon HaKodesh, if the person hears it, so they're Yotze. So now, it could be, or the answer to your question is that maybe we have a sufficient translation for Achashtaron and Bnei Aramachim, and that we have a sufficient translation for Vishinantam Levanecha. And that it doesn't have to include every layer of interpretation of Chazal. And Vishinatam Levanecha could be, and you should teach it to your children, or teach it to your sons, or sharpen it in learning to your sons, whatever. So it could be that's sufficient. But it's enough of a concern that Achronim say, you know, don't just say, well, I don't know so much Hebrew. No, it's better to daven in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it, then look at the English afterwards. Tov ma'at be'kavana me'arbe shalom be'kavana. So say, Rav Shechter would say one perek of the Psukah Zimra, one of the Mizmorim, of all those Mizmorim. Read one, read it in Hebrew, and then read it afterwards in the English, and then skip the rest. Right? He only says one third of Tachron. I don't think he says Lam Natseach either. I think by the time he's finished Asher, they're ready on to Vol Tzion. I don't know. But anyway, and then the last mitigating factor, which is the one that appears here in Shulchan Aruch, is that, wait a minute, Yei Shomrim, that the Malachim might not be able to help you. And that if you daven B'yechidus, since, now I can't explain how this works, but apparently, since you need the Malachim to help escort your tefilos, Klape Shmaya, to appear in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then you shouldn't daven B'loshon a laz, because the melachim, they don't relate to lashon of laz. They don't understand laz. They don't work with that, and they can't help your tefillos. Now, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, what that really means, al pisod, I can't tell you. We know that there are svarim that talk about how all the tefillos, they first enter the Ma'ar Samachpelah, because they have to go to the avos. Then they are tovel in the Be'er Miriam in Chamei Tveria, in the waters of Yamashal Tveria, before they go up to Shemayim. They go up through Shalayim, through the Shara Shemayim of the Kotel, the Zeh Shara Shemayim. So the tefillos, they do a lot of things. And apparently, you know, Machnis Erachme, Machnis Utfiloseinu, the angels have some role in wheelbarrowing your tefillos Klape Shemaya, whatever that means, and whatever, however you are meant to understand that. Not to be confused with the idea of davening to angels. We certainly never daven to the angels. We only daven to the Ribbono Shalom. But if you want the assistance of the angels to take your tefillos before the Ribbono Shalom, and the Shulchan Aruch clearly takes this literally and seriously, you shouldn't daven b'chalashon. Now, Shulchan Aruch then says, well, maybe it's dafka when you're sholol tzrach ha'pratim, and it's not if you're davening the Shemoneh Esrei, which is a fixed text. And then he says, well, maybe the tradition that the angels don't understand what you're saying has only been aramis, but it's enough. These four cheshbonos are enough to tell you, don't rush to toss the Hebrew davening. So says the Piskei Tshuvas, he says, we should be mechazik the yidei hamadfisim, who are publishing things belaz, because it's helpful, but with the translation on one side and the Hebrew on the other side. And then Rav Avadya, this is in Yabir Omer, Chelek Hei, Orachaim, Simen Yud Beis, points out that transliteration is very good. He's talking, the tshuva there was, they had a minig, I think it was in Turkey somewhere, that they published transliterated texts for people who couldn't read Hebrew. So Rav Avadya said, gesundheit. You're saying the Hebrew words, so you're yotze even though you don't understand. And you could argue then that the transliterated words are in a certain sense better from one perspective than the translation. Now, the downside there is the lack of kavana. It's harder to have kavana on words that you don't understand what they're saying. But now that you have both of these avenues, we understand how to balance, and you got to know, you know, Levi Dan Maros Nafsho, you got to know who your crowd is and what they're capable of doing and how much kavana they can have and how much time they have. So there's a difference between translation on one side and Hebrew on the other side. Can they read the Hebrew and then read the translation? Can you get the interlinear? Can you get the transliteration? And then how does this relate to, take a look at the Piskei Tshuvas about personal tchinos, obviously, best thing, most preferred, MP, is daven in Lashon HaKodesh, make sure you know what you're saying, and have kavana. But if you can't, so then you got to know for that situation, is it better to say it in transliteration, but the person is going to be totally spaced out, and they're not going to have any kavana, versus for this particular circumstance, they should say it in the Hebrew with some level of kavana and understanding. So this is Simen Kuf Aleph of kavana, how it relates to how loud we should say it, and whether we should daven dafka b'lashon kodesh or b'lashon chol.